smells. Handsome? Sabrina, you're gonna love it. We're making you a dream date at a Mando.
Mando?
He'll be tall, dark, and yeasty. Now he lasts about 4 hours, which is perfect for your dance.
Yeah, perfect. Except for the fact that I wanted to go with Harvey, not Poppin' Fresh.
Now, come on. Just meet him before you make up your mind. You're gonna like him. He's really enthusiastic.
Ladies, gentlemen, Black James Dean, welcome to episode number 6 of Sabrina's Witch Trials. This is, of course, the show where each week I take a friend back into the mid-1990s to review, reminisce, and rewatch everyone's favorite Friday Night Spellfest, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I might have mixed up my intro a little, but who cares? I am Alex Adelujo, of course, and I'm very excited because not only are we talking about one of my favorite episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch this week, I have quite the special guest this week. Back from last week, one of everybody's favorite guests, Sammy Rivera is here. Sammy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Al.
It's going to be a real fun time, trust me.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
A lot of stuff happens in this episode. I think this is the episode, I'll touch on it later, but I think this is the episode where we really start to see a lot of everybody's favorite Sabrina the Teenage Witch episodes start to happen, and some of the most iconic episodes. But
this is a good one to talk about.
This is a real good one. But Sammy, since you're here, you know the rules. As we start every episode of Sabrina's Witch Trials, I'm going to ask you to describe this episode in a set number of words, that number being 10. 10 words to describe this episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
10.
10 words.
Last time you gave me 6.
Last time I gave
or
you
8.
Less.
I don't even remember. Like yeah. You're switching it up on me.
I'm a saucy man.
Okay, so 10. Give me a second. So, let's see. How about we do Harvey and Sabrina?
Okay.
Should be on Dancing with the Stars.
10 words. Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Didn't have
much
to cut that much out. And 2, it's true. They're, one of them is very, very good at dancing, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But
yes.
I'm surprised. I imagine Melissa Joan Hart was on Dancing with the Stars because she's the kind of actress you'd expect to be on. Once famous, now not so much.
Yeah. I can see. She's the whole Melissa and Joey thing, yeah. And either one of them should be on it. I don't know.
Agreed.
But I'm not sure if – I don't believe she was.
I can't remember ever hearing it, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if she was. She was?
We're getting some nods.
We're getting confirmation here. She was on season 9 of Dancing with the Stars.
Ah, shit.
I told you. I figured. All right. Anyway, let's get into this episode right now. Episode 6, Dream Date, first aired November 1st, 1996. 15.1 million viewers, 9.7 rating, 17 share, and the 41st most viewed piece of television on that given week. We open in Sabrina's kitchen, where she rushes to answer the phone as Zelda is making tea. It's Harvey on the phone, and she quickly tells her aunt to get the hell out of the room because she didn't pick up on the hint of it being a private convo. Before she can get back to Harvey, however, she hears that some bitch Salem, the great Nick Bouquet, in a picnic basket for some reason, mocking her, and she quickly throws him out of the room. He keeps teasing her with the phrase, Harvey and Sabrina. Harvey and Sabrina.
Harvey and Sabrina. Harvey and Sabrina.
Harvey and Sabrina. Harvey and Sabrina.
That. All of that. As she gets back to Harvey, she's dismayed to find out that he didn't call to ask her out. Instead, he called to find out if photosynthesis will be on Mr. Poole's test.
Come on. Living in environment? Seriously?
It won't be on the test. Don't worry. As she hangs up the phone, she's crestfallen, but luckily her talking painting, Louisa, is there to cheer her up and tell her that she's sure that Harvey will ask her out eventually. Sabrina is initially happy to hear this, but then realizes that she has no fucking privacy in her house and just kind of pouts and walks away. And Louisa, who is actually the voice of Caroline Ray sped up, starts to tease her.
I did not know that.
It's hard to know, but thankfully trivia let me find this out. She starts to tease her, Harvey and Sabrina, Harvey and Sabrina, as the scene closes.
Harvey and Sabrina. Harvey and Sabrina.
Sammy, this first scene, first thing to note here for me, Zelda drinking that weird-ass dry iced tea again, just smoke everywhere.
Well, you are the biggest tea drinker I think I've ever met.
I'm a big tea bag, that's me. And it's ludicrous. No tea has ever looked like that or will ever look like that unless you add dry ice.
I don't know how that happens, though. Like, there's definitely dry ice in there somewhere. Yeah. But obviously...
It's always when she adds the honey.
But it plays into the whole, I'm a witch, I have a cauldron.
Spooky, scary.
Obviously. And she's just like... perky, and she's like, oh, that's okay, I'll give you your privacy.
Yep.
But maybe it is the honey. Maybe when Zelda pours the honey in, maybe it's kind of like there's a scientific thing in there's something in the honey that makes it kind of like,
yeah, it probably, if I had to guess, there's probably like a piece of dry ice in the cup, and then like the honey hits it and then activates it, and that's probably what happens.
Now, God forbid she ever touches that thing,
it'll burn her fucking hand off.
Yeah.
Sammy, talk to me about Sabrina's fucking outfit here.
Her silky green, lime green, big collared shirt.
Yep. No good.
Not a fan. Not a fan of... Okay. We see a lot of silk, velvet.
Yep.
And what else do you see? Really bad...
Checkered pants.
Checkered pants and graduation... material, yeah. Clothing. It's retarded.
This is an interesting week, an interesting episode in terms of outfits. We'll cover a bit more of them a little bit later, but I did note here, Sabrina does have a pretty good ass for the mom jeans she's wearing.
The mom jeans. Mom jeans are back. I'm not a fan. I don't like them. Mm-hmm. My mom still rocks them. I try and give her as many pairs of jeans that I have that would actually fit her, but... no mom jeans for me. It goes with the time. It goes certainly with the style. So I'm not going to hate on Sabrina, but I'm not a big fan of them.
Melissa Joan Hart rocking the Gloria Vanderbilts here.
Yes. Yes, she is. But how about that phone?
It is a traditional.
That iconic.
Yep. Corded. Walk that shit around the house.
Yeah.
Get to anywhere.
She can go into any. If she had a long enough cord, she can walk into the freaking dining room or out that front door.
She could get to Westbridge and just be like, hi, I'm on my house phone. Because that's what you say when you're on your house phone. Okay. Speaking of Westbridge, we go to Westbridge and Libby and her stupid friend Sasha are decorating for the Harvest Moon Dance, which is quickly approaching. Sabrina and Jenny then sit down to have some lunch. Jenny tells Sabrina that she's planning on going to the dance alone so she can represent everything that is odd. Not being even is what she means, because she's sick of how society makes couples break up into little even groups. Sabrina then says that she kind of wants to go with Harvey. She digs Harvey. She thinks she's the bee's knees. He's the bee's knees. That's what they say. That's not what she says at all. But she does mention that she doesn't want to tell Harvey this because she's afraid of complicating their friendship.
You know, I was thinking it might be kind of fun to go with Harvey.
Are you going to ask him?
Oh, I can't. I don't want to complicate our friendship.
What if he asked you?
Oh, well, I don't mind if he complicates our friendship.
Jenny then goes into matchmaker mode here, calls Harvey over, asks him what he's planning to do for the dance, and then immediately is like, oh, I must have left my iron on. Best to leave now. Setting the two of them up. Harvey lets us all know that... dances really aren't his thing, and he wasn't planning on going. And Sabrina's all, oh, yeah, I'm totally the same. I wasn't planning on going at all. I don't have any plans yet.
Hint, hint.
Punching him in the nose. Just, come on, ask me, jerk. Just then, the bitch, Libby, comes over, and she asks to borrow Harvey's finger because she's tying balloons and Harvey works out.
Hi, Harvey. Can I borrow a finger?
Sure.
Excuse me, we were talking. Other people have fingers too, you know?
Yes, but Harvey works out.
Got those big throbbing finger muscles that are good for tying things, apparently. She also tells him that she was thinking that they could go to the dance together, something which he meekly accepts. Sabrina then basically goes, the fuck? You just said you didn't want to go and dances weren't your thing, but Harvey lets us know that he has a really hard time saying no to people. And the scene closes with him practicing his nose. To himself. Sammy, talk to me here.
Let's talk about that finger.
Let's talk about that finger.
Let's talk about it. Because I just, like, why did Libby say, oh, let me use Harvey's finger because he works out? Obviously, she means something. She wants that finger to be somewhere.
That's right. Maybe not on her balloon, but...
She wants it somewhere.
She's a dirty birdie.
I don't know. It's very misleading.
Yep. And...
Is he even helping her tie it, or like, what's going on?
He really doesn't. Like, he holds on to the balloon, but she's tying it herself on her own finger. She just wants his jock. Who are we kidding here?
Yeah. I really like the scene of like the love triangle that's going on, mm-hmm. where like, who's dating who, like outside of the show.
Right.
Like, is Melissa Joan Hart really dating Harvey, or who? I don't know the guy.
Well, I don't know who Nate Richard is his name.
Nate Richard.
Now he's very bald, by the way. If you look up pictures of him, he shaved his, it's all gone, Sammy. I don't know if they were dating, but I didn't read Melissa Joan Hart's autobiography, but I read excerpts of it.
Was it Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
No.
Because that would be freaking amazing.
That would be weird because like he was probably like 5 years younger than her. Because she's like, she's 20 here.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I read like excerpts. I'm gonna leave these all in. I'm gonna leave this in also. I read excerpts from her autobiography, and apparently like she would like go to the Playboy Mansion to like parties there, and she would, I believe she took Britney Spears out drinking once, because I think they were in a movie together. I believe so.
I don't know. That would be funny though if that story is pretty true.
According to her autobiography, which probably sold like 9 copies.
Yeah.
To the people who listen to the show, I love you all.
But that's I think that's funny though that she like went and
apparently, if I remember correctly, it was during the filming of Drive Me Crazy, whatever that stupid movie they were both in was.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like a movie where like they drive cross country or something.
Crossroads?
No, it was. I think it was called Drive You Crazy. This I will look up. So
okay, go for it.
Drive Me Crazy.
Let's see what Al comes up with.
Drive Me Crazy, a 1999 comedy teen drama film starring
Melissa Joan Hart.
Melissa Joan Hart and Adrian Grenier. I don't see if Britney Spears was in this, but I think she is. Maybe not. Whatever. Drive Me Crazy was a movie. I win.
So how about that Sunny D on Harvey's plate?
How about it? How about that? Not like it's clearly Sunny D, but they pull the label off because it's still season one and they're not getting advertising.
No product placement.
None.
Come on.
Butter thumbs. Come on.
Whatever. Those were like dollar juices. They were literally water to any deli or mm-hmm. bodega or whatever. You get the like 50 cent.
Yeah. You go to Western Beef and you can buy them 4 for a dollar.
Oh my God.
Get that deal. Also, I want to talk about this for a sec. The decorations that Libby and Sasha are putting up and that will be up later at the dance are fucking hideous. Like, I know it's a harvest moon, like autumny kind of dance and you want to decorate it around that, but fucking hell. Did you just buy all the orange, brown, and yellow you could and just threw it on the wall?
Come on. It's the fall. It's a harvest.
Like, and then there's like all this drapery. Like, it looks like the Cleveland Browns just threw up in the fucking room. Reference. Also, I watched it.
Shout out to all those Ohioans.
Shout out to all those Cleveland Browns listening. also, I watched it a couple of times, and I'm pretty sure that Harvey never actually helps her tie the balloon. I think she ties it on her own finger, and he just holds the balloon. So, look into that.
I didn't watch that closely.
Oh, believe me, I've got something I like investigated a little later on. So get ready.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Maybe. Also, one last thing before we move on here. Libby says that Harvey works out, and that's why she needs to borrow his finger. Mm-hmm. To Sammy's point, I bet she's got some finger exercises for him.
Oh yeah,
I
she needs it.
Also, to be fair though, Sabrina does like have the perfect reaction to it. Where, like, it's the reaction any girlfriend would give, like when some other girl starts flirting with your boyfriend. It's like, yeah, other people have fingers too, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't respond so nicely.
Sammy just break a bottle over their fucking head.
Yeah, that'd be me. Don't fucking talk to my boyfriend.
That's why Michael Cassis will never be on the show again. I don't want to have a bottle broken over my head. That night at home, Sabrina asks Zelda for help with something private, and Hilda, being a right old bitch, not caring, says, "Oh, did someone say private? Did someone say grilled cheese?" and enters the room. That's a reference literally no one will get, but I put it in this podcast.
I don't get it, but it's probably a good reference.
It's probably a good one. Sammy knows my history of references. Sabrina then starts to tell them all the problems that she's having with Libby and Harvey and wanting to go to the dance. But they're way ahead of her and they know the whole story. And she seems not to like that for some reason. They ask her if she's given Harvey any hints about how she feels about him. And she's all, "Well, duh. I smile at him and sometimes I let him win at foosball."
I thought that part was funny.
It's funny and it's kind of it's cute and it's endearing because like that's really the way that human beings are. Like nobody's just upfront about like liking someone. No, you're awkwardly nice to them for weeks on end until your aunts make you a person out of dough. That's how life works.
Have you at least dropped a hint?
Well, I smile at him a lot, and sometimes when we play foosball, I let him win.
We'll never figure it out that way.
No, but I thought it was funny how she just was like, "Oh, I just let him win at foosball."
Yep.
And like coming from a very competitive, like I'm extremely competitive, and I know like whenever Mike and I play, I always give him such a hard fucking time. My dad's really funny about it. He's like, "Sam, you gotta let him win. Like you can't, like boys can't get beat by girls because their self confidence is just low."
Sammy, Libby was here the other day asking to borrow a finger from Mike. You've gotta let him win, or else. They go on to explain to her that if she really likes him, she's going to have to be more direct, like sledgehammer direct. She asks for help in finding a love spell, but Zelda goes on to tell her that there is no such spell because love is far too precious to tamper with. And then Hilda makes a stupid Calvin Klein joke.
"Love is far too precious to tamper with.
You mean too weird. That's why there's no standardized formula. Although Calvin Klein came remarkably close with obsession."
Hilda,
yeah, I guess that was like...
That was the big Calvin Klein perfume of a time, I guess,
yeah,
was obsession.
Yeah, like Charlize Theron. I can't even say her last name.
Theron's?
Yeah, Dior. J'adore Dior.
There you go. By the way, Dior, if you need somebody to do your ads, don't come here because I can't help you. Hilda then goes on to like go full Bellevue and tell Sabrina that while she can't make somebody love her with magic, she can imprison them in a piece of jewelry?
An amber ring.
And then shows Sabrina someone she imprisoned in jewelry?
That goes back to the whole, "Oh, let me put you in a jar." Like, yeah, no, yeah. That is not okay, Zelda.
Hilda. No, it's not. And the way it's just like casually like laughed at is kind of insane because she's taken someone's life and then ruined it by putting him in a ring for clearly hundreds of years. He's like a lute player or something.
I don't know what he is, but he was wearing a pretty hideous outfit.
Yeah. Sabrina then asks for some privacy, and her aunts leave her room, noting, "We're here, we care, and we have pie." Get used to it. That's like the best way to take care of anyone is to just offer them pie, in all honesty.
Apple crumb pie.
There you go.
With vanilla ice cream and rainbow sprinkles.
There's a great, and just to touch on the whole, how true to life this whole episode is, I think, there's a great moment where Sabrina's asked by one of her aunts why she didn't just ask him to the dance, and she says, "Because then he would know that I like him."
Oh, sweetie, if Harvey likes Libby, that's his choice.
No, but I don't think he does. I mean, she asked him, and because he has a problem saying no, he said yes.
Then why didn't you ask him?
Because then he would know that I liked him.
But you do.
Yes, but I can't tell him that.
That is just the most true-to-life statement ever, because that's how you feel when you like somebody. You don't want them to know for some reason. People are idiots, is my point.
Yeah.
Preach was my note there.
Preach, sister.
Sabrina just captured me in high school, and college, and now, and in 2 years. It's not going to change. Also, love is far too precious to tamper with. This is a note because... there will definitely be love spells in the relatively near future.
I feel like there were.
There were a couple, at least. Like, maybe the Witches' Council just, like, has some big ruling that we never hear about, and then they can start doing love spells. But there's a character named Cupid who comes up multiple times.
Cupid in his little diaper.
Getting back to the fashion, however, the fuck is Hilda wearing in this scene? It's like a green button-down shirt underneath...
She tried taking a hint from Sabrina.
Underneath a leather vest, which I'm pretty sure is the vest from like 4 episodes ago, but the hell? What?
I don't know. Let me say this, though. I kind of like Zelda's outfit.
The thing is, Zelda looks good in just about everything because she's like a tall, thin, pretty woman. So as long as it's not hideous.
But she looks old. She looks so old.
That is a problem with a lot of her outfits. Like, in a couple of years, they'll make her like the hot college teacher, which she should be. But I feel like she's meant to play like the motherly parent figure. So yeah. They purposely put her in like older stuff, as where Hilda's like the
young,
the comedic one. So they can put her in whatever.
Yeah, I will say something later on in our podcast today about Zelda's outfit.
Mm. In the hall, Zelda says that, boy or no boy, Sabrina should go to the ball. Dance. And she asks Hilda if they have any Mando in the house. They run downstairs. Hilda beats Zelda. And they move Salem off the kitchen table because they're going to make Sabrina a dream date. We then get an astoundingly fun montage of the aunties just making like human body parts out of dough, dancing around, building a boy, just having a real fun time to the most incredible montage music you've ever fucking heard.
I got your nose.
Like, this is the music. Like,
it was such a good part. I really love this part.
The music, you know, Eye of a Tiger in Rocky 3. That is now the second best montage music ever, because this beats it by a country fucking mile.
We're making Sabrina a dream date.
Whoa. Ooh, my kipple. Mm.
Dream date. Got your nose. Here's your ears.
When they're done shaping Sabrina's dream date, Hilda begins eating some dough for some reason, which just sounds fucking gross.
Yeah, not.
They then start to put on the personality glaze, and they make him a great dancer, a daredevil, and a musician, because girls love musicians.
I think it's funny, though, that they did Daredevil.
Yeah.
Like, for your niece, you want a daredevil.
That is a little weird. The thing is, they know he's only going to be around for 4 hours.
Yeah, but if they found out that she went on a motorcycle to the dance,
that is true.
Sorry, I'm spoiling it, but
the big turning point of motorcycle.
No, but that I just thought that was a little funny and like far fetched.
It would be great if they were like, all right, well, he's going to be studious and safe and have no genitalia.
Well, I was surprised that Zelda didn't say like. Intelligent.
Yeah. She just wants Sabrina to have a fun, daredevilish time. Hilda actually accidentally overdoes the enthusiasm, and Zelda notes that where he's going to need all the enthusiasm he can get. We get some more fun montage-y music as they glaze the doughboy, and they cover him to rise. My last note here, I love all of this.
Yeah.
All right.
So fun.
Sammy, help me break down this scene. We talked about how great the music is. I love, during the montage, all the stupid little things Caroline Ray and Beth Broderick have to do to fill in the montage space, because clearly they had this awesome song they wanted to get into the show, and they had nothing to fill it with. So at one point, like, Caroline Ray just starts spinning with the boy's head and just says, dream date, because she has nothing to say.
No, you can't really say anything, though. Like, they're
got your nose.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of funny. But the amount of dough that went into this dream date, I should say, was ridiculous.
It's a lot of dough. And the funny thing is, if you look at the actual like dough person that they make, it's a wonder that he actually turns into who he turns into in a few minutes, because he looks like the most hideous monster. He's got these big chunky feet, big chunky, like well-defined head.
The hands.
And then a flat body. Like the thinnest, like cookie thin body.
They have thick feet. Yeah. They have thick hands. Oh. They have a big, big head. If you know what I'm describing, do you get it?
Sounds like you're describing a penis is what it sounds like.
I'm kidding.
The funny thing is, like, talking about all the stupid things they have to do. At one point, Zelda's just like moving the feet in like a dancing way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is happening? I know you have to fill in time, but I love it.
I'm not going to say anything bad about it. It's hysterical that they didn't use the table, the kitchen table, or whatever table. They used a big piece of wood.
Yep, they put some sawhorses up.
Yep, and it was like, yeah, they just made that, or like pointed their finger. It was like, give me a big wooden table.
It's pretty cool. I also just love this whole idea, the everything from making a person out of dough to, you know, being able to put a personality glaze on something.
Yeah.
I love how well thought out it is, and I love how well it uses the main, like, plot point of this series, which is magic. Like, this is an original concept that they came up with. They, like, fully fleshed out. It makes sense to the episode. It's well considered. Everything works well. I just love how original and fun this idea is.
I agree. I really do like this idea, but I was, like, really thinking about it throughout the whole episode. I was like, this can kind of be, like, prostitution in a way. Like, you're molding some man mm-hmm. into what you want, and you're putting all those personality traits in. So you're basically just, like, speed dating.
You're being God is what you're doing.
Yes, that and the fact that it's 4 hours and these two women are very lonely and they only have each other. They can make as many men as they want.
And boy, do they.
And it doesn't cost anything. Right? And you don't even have to put them in the oven
because
it's
right.
No bake.
It's no fucking bake. I was amazed that they never actually brought this concept back. Like, I thought this is such a fun episode. This is probably the best episode, not to ruin my review at the end, but this is probably the best episode we've seen so far. I don't know why they never thought to bring back the Mando idea into another episode. Like, maybe there's an evil Mando guy, and he's made of, wait for it, sourdough?
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. There's a lot of things they could have done that I'm kind of upset they didn't do. But, moving on. Get over it, Al. Sabrina comes downstairs asking what they're making because it smells handsome. That's my reading of it. Zelda tells her that they're making her a dream date out of Mando, and Hilda notes that he'll be tall, dark, and yeasty. Zelda also mentions that he only lasts 4 hours, and then Sabrina gets all sarcastic, saying that's perfect, only she wanted to go to the dance with Harvey, not Poppin' Fresh. Another great 90s reference that I Poppin' Fresh probably still exists, but you don't really see him all that much.
Is that the popcorn?
No, that's the Pillsbury like Doughboy.
Oh.
Poppin' Fresh is the Pillsbury Doughboy. You don't know who Poppin' Fresh is?
No, I know Pillsbury, but all right. I'm a bad 90s baby.
It's all right. Just then, the dough begins to rise, the timer goes off, and we get a fresh baked batch of Brian Austin Green.
Ooh.
He shows
Megan Fox.
That's right. He shows his enthusiasm right away, and Sabrina, realizing that he's cute, changes into a pretty solid-looking purple dress, and she's all set for the dance. Her and Poppin' Fresh weave to the sounds of him excitedly talking about how much fun this dance sounds. All right, Sammy. Brian Austin Green. I literally had no idea who he was.
What?
Like, I never watched Beverly Hills 90210.
Me either, but... I'm just a...
Like, I knew he was on this episode, and I knew he was married to Megan Fox. That's all I ever knew about him until I looked it up. But this is actually probably the most appropriate guest star they had so far, because, like, he's not Sally Jesse Raphael or the cowboy man that they had a couple of episodes again.
Randy Travis. He was of age. He really... played his character very well.
Right. He is like, this is probably the height of his popularity too. This is a bit of a get for them.
Yeah. Yes, I really agree. I think he was whoever cast him did a great job. Mm-hmm. He played the part enthusiastic and just wanted to dance all the time, the entire night. And the energy that came off of this guy, it was great.
It is an amazing performance because, I mean, it's a great, like, character concept that he's just unassailably positive and chipper about everything because of all the enthusiasm. And it gives us a lot of fun moments, like, in the course of this episode. And mm-hmm. He's probably the best, not only the best guest star, but probably the best performance by a guest star, because most of them are just like, oh, look, I'm this person. How did I get here?
I think they're all one-liners.
Yeah.
With the other guest stars, this guy actually had a role. He had a purpose. Mm-hmm.
You might say a dozen roles. You might also make a better joke than that one.
Man's done.
Hey, hi. Man, am I happy to be here.
Wow, he is really cute. Well, we do nice work. But if you don't want to go to the
dance... Change my mind. I'll go. Just give me a sec to get ready. All set. Gotta go.
Man, you look great. And this dance sounds fantastic.
He does, however, have a very 90s wardrobe.
Like, oh, for sure. What was it, like...
It was, like, one of those, like, nylon, like, baggy polo zip-up things with, like, baggier jeans.
I hate those jeans. Absolutely hate those jeans. I remember the kids I went to high school with and middle school with, they would wear those, like, dark, weird jean color. Oh, I think they got them from Odell's. I was like, come on. Yeah. Go to Macy's. Do something. And, no, but the material, his shirt material, really reminded me of, like, a graduation robe.
Kind of.
Like, just put together.
Also, everything is like three sizes too big because it's 1996, and that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Everything was baggy, I think, until 2000.
Yeah. Even after, I mean. All right. At Westbridge, the new couple arrives in the cafeteria.
Dun, 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 dun.
And Doughboy is super impressed by everything in the room, even, which got a laugh out of me, the bunting. He's so excited about the bunting.
Whoa, great bunting!
Hey, could you keep it down? You're talking kind of loud.
Do you know what bunting is, Sammy?
What do you mean?
Like, do you know what bunting is?
Baseball terms or baking terms?
No, it's actually neither of those things.
No, then I don't know.
Bunting is, like, when you decorate something, when you leave, like, fabric, like, hanging down, and then when you pin it up, and then it hangs down, and you pin it up, that's bunting. And he's super excited about bunting.
How the hell does he know about that?
I don't know. He just loves everything.
I thought it would have been funny if it was like a bundt cake reference because he's made out of dough. And
that and Bundt Friday. They then run into Jenny, to whom Sabrina introduces her date as Chad Corey Dillon.
Three names.
The three most 90s boy names, too.
Come on.
Yeah. Brian Austin Green, Chad Corey Dillon. I thought it was funny. Sabrina then sends Chad for punch, and she then starts to brag to Jenny about how Chad is a daredevil rock musician and has a motorcycle.
We rode over on his motorcycle.
I love how high you just
I put it in there.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation Jenny, point.
I also love how then Jenny, like, mirrors her delivery with, I approve. Like, I approve? It's perfect. I really like this episode. Who am I kidding? Chad then gleefully returns with two kinds of punch, orange and red. And then he's even more excited to find out that they can dance here at the dance. Because he's made to dance at the dance. They dance, and I thought it was pretty good dancing. It was very, very spinny. Lots of spinning.
It wasn't old mom dances, you know, like where they just like move the arms and kind of shake the hips.
Yeah.
It was more than that.
There's a lot of good dancing shown off in this episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, let me tell you. Just then, Libby, the bitch, and Barvy, as I've written down here, arrive. Apparently, some new character. She asks Sasha what she missed, and Sasha asks him where they've been. Apparently, they've had car trouble with Harvey's vet, Chevette, because that's a joke people make. Libby then spots Sabrina and is like, who's that guy he's dancing with? she's dancing with. And Jenny's all, that's Chad. And yes, that's his motorcycle. She doesn't say it there, actually. Outside. Sasha then notes that Sabrina won, apparently. There was a contest and Sabrina won. But Libby doesn't think so. And she tells Harvey it's time to hit the floor.
Come on, Harvey. Let's hit the floor.
And does the greatest hand motions anyone has ever done while saying anything.
Arms up, hands out, one leg forward, hip up.
And then brings it down for floor. Oh, my God.
Ready to go in, and then
this
Harvey
is the most...
just,
good.
Harvey just, like, graciously, well...
pulls her back.
Just grabs her arm and is like, not gonna happen.
Yeah. He tells her that he actually doesn't dance, and then Libby just like reads him the riot act and then leaves to go to the bathroom. Harvey sits on the sidelines depressed and waves at Sabrina, who like kind of meekly waves back.
Those chairs too. Do you remember those chairs?
Yes, I do. Those very hard plastic chairs.
Oh, man.
That like half the time
they were
cracked.
They were always maroon and navy. Always. It was
perfect for the harvest moon dance.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Sabrina waves back and just tells Chad that she was waving at a friend. Okay. So Chad's super excited about the bunting. That was awesome. I love, love, love everything that Jenny does from this point. Jenny. Well, I love everything Jenny does because, like, you see her dancing in the background while...
she's third wheeling it.
She is. She is proudly on her own. Like, I think at one point you see her do the robot. It's all great. But Harvey with the awesome line, for me, dance is sort of a metaphor. And then Libby asks him, for what? And he just says, I don't know, something else. That's how I've always felt about dances. Don't make me dance. I don't like to dance.
Okay, guys. Can I just say this?
Absolutely.
Al, mm-hmm. You might not like this, but it's about you.
If it's about me, I definitely don't like it.
So Al does not like to dance.
Not at all.
He is exactly like Harvey. So he has really great hair, too.
Oh.
A picture of him. And he works really hard on it.
Sammy, you thought I wouldn't like this? Please.
Okay, but...
this just became my ringtone. What are you kidding?
So Al really does not like to dance. And
I
feel like every party, his brother's wedding...
anyone's birthday.
Our friend's wedding, anyone's birthday, any... party that we've ever been to where there's dancing, he's just not a fan. And I really try my best to try and get him on the dance floor at least once. I got his butt to shake once.
He did.
And I got both of his hands up a couple of times.
I want to be clear. The only reason that Sammy's able to do this is because Sammy has like a Chad level of unassailability.
Yeah.
Like, she's too nice, so you can't say no to her after
a
while.
I'm like, dude, let's go. We're going on a dance floor right now. And he just like looks at me with like a puppy dog face. And he's just...
I'm defeated,
you know,
because I can't say no to Sammy.
I just
so.
Don't want to dance.
It's tough.
And then I get him up and everyone's just enjoying themselves on the dance floor.
Changing the subject immediately right
no,
now.
No, because there's a wedding coming up and I'm getting him on the dance floor.
You will not be doing that. Changing the topic immediately... we get to see the rest of the decorations at the Harvest Moon Dance.
Yes.
And there are just like standing sunflowers with balloons tied to them. This is like a nightmare scene. Like, I'm pretty sure half of this set was from the other realm. Like, there's just random plants.
That's a nice little line.
Right?
The other realm. I didn't think it was anything special. There was nothing really going on. It's not like it's a dance in a what is it called? Gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a big difference between a cafeteria and a gymnasium or a hall or anything.
This
like
room,
that.
This one like space that they have at Westbridge is like everything. They hold recitals there. They have a karate tournament at one point.
No, but this is, you have what is it? Like location, setting.
Yep.
You have the same ones that go on like the kitchen in Sabrina's house.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina's bedroom, Sabrina's closet, Sabrina's dining room, Sabrina's living room.
Yep.
Then you have the hallway. Then you have the classroom. Then you have that cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just going to be that particular thing. The sets are made and they're going to use that. They're not going to use anything else.
Wardrobe here for a second, Sammy. How good did Jenny look in that like burgundy mini dress?
she looked very good. I will say velvet was really in back then. Mm-hmm. I had a dark green velvet dress that I wore all the time at that same time period.
Work.
But I was also like 6
yeah.
or 7. I don't remember.
I don't know. I thought the matching tights were a little bit much, but.
Match. I had that in my notes, Al. Get out.
I'm sorry. I like to read other people's notes. It's what I do.
But yeah, those yeah. matching stockings, the matching shoes. It was, I was just really happy she didn't wear white.
Yeah, yeah.
White stockings, because that's like a big thing. But Libby's outfit, I liked Libby's dress.
Yeah, polka dot deal.
Yep. She wore it well with her black stockings. Sabrina's dress, I thought it looked cheap looking. It was that one color. There wasn't anything going on, just like thick straps going up and like a light, like lavender, blue. I don't even remember what color.
Like a stripe
it was.
Or like a sash or something.
Yeah. But it like didn't do much. I wasn't really sure what she was kind of like going for, and like the thick heel. I don't know. It was a thick pump. And then Harvey.
Yeah.
What about Harvey?
Oh, man.
Harvey wore the same outfit he wore the day before.
To be fair to Harvey.
And he made it known.
He did. He did point it out later.
That is embarrassing. That's worse than not being able to know how to dance.
To be fair, though, it's a pretty good outfit. Like, I kind of love it because it's like kind of, it looks futuristic, but it looks like what they thought the future would be like in 1974. Like, it's like a long gray zip up vest and then like a black.
But it looks like a thick.
It is impressive. It's
like a wool gray.
I thought it was kind of nice because it makes him look like a spaceman. I thought it was real cool. I would wear it now. Not out though.
Yeah, you're particular with what you wear.
I'm very particular. Apparently, I have great hair, but that's according to Sammy. Also, Chad pulls the best face when he brings the punch. It's like, punch.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second because it's kind of ridiculous. Orange punch. Who has orange fucking punch? You got fruit punch. That's all you got. No other kind of punch. Maybe I don't want any kind of any other punch. And the punch better be spiked.
There you go. Sammy's clearly as particular of her punch as I am about my clothing and hair. We're a fun bunch. I don't know. Orange punches, like, they made orange Kool-Aid. That's probably what it is.
I don't think I've ever had Kool-Aid.
I've had it in my house as a kid. I never drank it. Like, if I
ever... I would do, I'm like, when I was a kid, I would do like Capri Sun.
Or any
Tropicana drink. I love juices. Apple juice. I would do the fruit punch, the tropical punch. Tropical punch, that's like a soft pinky red.
Yep.
That's a good punch. But no orange punch. Just have orange juice. Why?
It's probably what it is. It's probably just like orange.
No, but it wasn't that yellow color. No, it was a deep orange.
It was probably like sun-kissed. Mm. It's just orange soda. All right. At the Spellman house, we end up there. And we see that the aunties have been baking up a little more Mando for themselves, something they apparently haven't done since the Taft administration. Hilda notes that she made her man super optimistic and hopeful, but once she hears the ding, she finds out that he's hopeless because the hope in the optimism glaze has faded. Hope fades. Go figure. Being hopeful essentially means that he's a stereotypical, like, nagged husband who mentions that he's looking for work and that he wants to go watch the ball game. He just turns into like Tim Allen, basically. That's what being hopeless means.
I thought they would have had a sexier guy. He was...
You know who he is?
No idea who that guy is, but he just...
Some of our older listeners might recognize him.
Didn't do anything. It was kind of just like, oh, okay, like whatever. And I'm sorry I'm jumping the gun right now.
Don't do it. Do it.
What the hell? Why does Hilda, who is the younger sibling, get the unattractive guy, and Zelda gets the freaking, like, he looks like Eddie Cibrian looks like he's 16.
He really wasn't much older. He was probably like 20 something here. She's just better at making Mando, I guess. I mean, jeez.
I want to talk about this later.
Oh, we will.
After you go.
He wants to go watch the ball game, apparently, so he runs off to do that. Hilda notes that she has the worst luck with men, but that she thinks she can change him and gain his trust by feigning interest in sports. Zelda ain't buying it.
It's a really good try. I know from experience trying to have the same, interests. Mm-hmm. is a good thing to have. And you try your best to know the other person. So there is realism there, and there are more, there's more realism when Hilda continues with her date with her horrible, yeah, hopeless man.
Simon, we find out his name is a little later. Before running off, however, Hilda accurately guesses that Zelda's doughboy is a milk-swilling fireman, since she's seen all of her calendars. As Zelda's man dings. Man dings is a little weird of a phrase.
Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling.
You said it. We see that it's, fuck all, it's Eddie Cibrian again. This time, he's dressed as a fireman. He calls Zelda kitten, and he asks her for milk. This brings up Salem, for some reason, who's coming out of a fucking picnic basket again.
You sure he wasn't coming in a closet? No, I'm kidding.
weird bit of a
fucking
joke
there. Fucking Salem.
Oh, hello, kitten. Got milk?
What? Oh, sorry. Thought you were talking to me.
Why is there a picnic basket on the table?
There's been a picnic basket there the entire episode, Al.
It doesn't go anywhere. No. Literally, it's just there so Salem can come out of it and go back into it.
All right. Well, you are the one with the cat. So
I am.
Has Kitty ever done something like that before?
Yes.
Like gone in a box and like just lifted her head and be like, oh, there's some food.
She hasn't said something and then gone back down.
Obviously not, but you probably heard her bell or something. And yeah. Was like, oh.
She does go. My cat does get into things. I don't, however, just leave picnic baskets sitting on like my tables or whatever, which they apparently do. But that's besides the point. Okay. This is where I did some sleuthing here, Sammy. Get ready. Because when we first see the scene and we see the two guys covered with the tarps or whatever, mm-hmm, we see Hilda and Zelda each reading something. Zelda is reading the Journal of American Theoretical Physicists, which doesn't actually exist. That was a quick Googling thing and I found that, and that's fake. It's bullshit. Hilda, however, is reading a book whose title I couldn't really figure out, but said it was written by Dash Joff, G-O-F-F. Now, some Googling told me that Dash Joff was a character from Designing Women. You remember the show Designing Women? You might have heard about it. It was a sitcom in the 80s and early 90s.
I do not.
So that didn't make a lot of sense. Apparently, he was a writer. So I figured...
Was he a writer for the show?
No, Dash Joff was like a character who was a writer. He was one of the main characters, like ex-husbands. So I figured, clearly somebody worked on both shows. I looked at the list of people who worked on both. I compared them, couldn't find anything. I then figured that if Dash Joff is here, he must have been somewhere else and somebody must have worked on some other show and it's connected somehow. I eventually discovered that Designing Women had a spinoff called Women of the House. He, character Dash Joff, appeared on an episode of that spinoff called An Afternoon Wife. Or The Afternoon Wife. The Afternoon Wife is the title of the book Hilda's reading. And I discovered that the person, the actual script supervisor, who worked on this episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, also worked on that episode, her name being Grace Ann Carter. So, while this doesn't really lead to a lot, apparently Grace Ann Carter likes to sneak in Easter eggs to episodes of things that she works with, this is how much effort I put into preparing for each episode of Sabrina's Witch Trials.
That's insane. I thought when you had told me that you put in a lot of effort, mm-hmm, into finding something out, I really was thinking it was in a later scene.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, just a quick couple of things about the scene here. Eddie Cibrian is back, which is super weird because he's already appeared as himself on this show. So I guess maybe Zelda just kind of like liked how Eddie Cibrian looked.
Well, and made him. He's wearing other.
He's a fireman now. He's a totally different person.
He's wearing a different outfit. Yeah. At first, I was like, wait, is that him? And then then it just kept going, okay, kept watching. And then I looked at him again and I was like, no way. Yeah. It's like, holy shit.
Baywatch Nights or Baywatch, whatever, Hawaii. Or
maybe
whatever
that was when he was with Brandy Glanville.
Maybe. I don't know who that is.
The housewife.
All right.
Like ex Beverly Hills housewife.
Okay. Now, Sammy, do you have anything to say about Hilda's dress here?
Okay, so.
Because I'm sure Sammy noticed this, and I'll let her say this because If you don't, will.
I'm sorry. I have short-term memory. You said Zelda.
Hilda's dress. If I said Zelda, I made a mistake. Hilda's dress.
Okay. I will say things about both of them.
Okay.
I'd rather speak about Zelda, though, because she reminds me of something. Hilda, not a fan of the peach dress. Not a fan of the black turtleneck that she wore underneath. I know that's a big thing with her. She always does turtlenecks under everything. Yeah. Not a fan at all.
The worst part is, like, there's, like, big, like, sunflowers just hot glued to her dress.
Yeah. I don't fucking like hideous. I'm not a fan of her hair either. That's often her hairstyle, but not a fan. Now, Zelda, the way that she... Now, I don't know if it's the scene or the next scene coming up after, but the way that she sits up on that wooden table with her legs crossed and those black leggings and the short dress, it reminds me of Julie Bowen in Happy Gilmore when Happy is just, like, really upset and he just sees his grandma in all black making out with Shooter McGavin and then his Julie Bowen is just standing there, like, all sexy with water all over herself or whatever. And she's in this, like, black lingerie thing with black – with her legs crossed. And it really reminded of that scene with Zelda with her short blonde hair.
Zelda looked pretty good.
She was, like, sexing it up. Like, Hilda was just far gone. She had no chance. Absolutely no chance.
Note to self, sexing it up, the title of this episode.
And Zelda, she was really sexing it up. She was like, look at these skinny ass legs. Look, she might as well just show her ass because it was a really short skirt, a short dress.
She looked pretty solid. All right. Back at the dance, Sammy. Going back to Westbridge here. Chad is having the best fucking time dancing. But Sabrina, she's a little distracted by Harvey. She has Jenny take over for her as she goes over to talk to Harvey, who we see fishing a chip out of the punch. This is where he mentions that he's wearing the same thing that he wore to school the day before. Harvey explains that Libby's mad at him because he can't dance, which surprises Sabrina. He goes on to explain that he can dance when he's on his own, but
he can dance when he wants to.
When he wants to, but he leaves his friends behind. He actually gets self-conscious when he's around other people, unlike Sabrina's date.
Aww.
Sabrina then notes that Chad's kind of special, and Harvey misunderstands, thinking that this means that she really likes Chad. Just then, Chad comes over, and he's ecstatically, like, just dragging her away because there's another great song playing. Libby soon comes back and talks to Harvey. Harvey comments that he thought that she fell in. Class act. And she gives us an agitated charming. Back at home, Hilda is getting nowhere with her fucking date. He's just basically responding to all of her attempts to communicate with him with disinterest and requests for potato chips.
What are you thinking?
That rep's a jerk!
You know, we could talk while we watch sports. I mean, relationships are built on communication. Why don't you share your feelings?
Why don't you share the chips?
Simon, the point I'm trying to make...
Look, when we get to a boring commercial, we'll make out. Until then, mind?
He wraps up with probably the best line he gets this whole episode. When we get to a boring commercial, we'll make out. Until then, do you mind?
And again, this might be this scene or the next one with the two of them. But Hilda made a really good point where she was like, relationships are born on communication. And she was like, what are you thinking right now?
Yeah.
And she was like really trying to engage into this football game. And he's just like, whoa, 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 lady. Like, I don't care for you right now.
Yeah.
When I have time for you, yeah, I'll fucking make out with you. Whatever you want.
It's great. He's like a caricature of, like, a disgruntled husband. It's ludicrous.
We'll see, because it's kind of like foreshadowing, like, the meaning of this episode is that sentence of, like, communication is what relationships are made of. And if you don't have communication, you're fucked. Like, friendships, actual relationships between two people, like, just coworker relationships, communication is the key to everything, mm-hmm. and you need good a good relationship. And obviously the two of them don't have it, but we'll see later on two people that are struggling with
communication.
Having, yes.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the house, Zelda is adoringly watching Eddie Cibrian drink milk as he comments, "I like milk." Great performance there. I think the one thing that I noted here was when Harvey's mentioning how he can dance by himself, he says, I'm okay when it's just me rocking out in my room, and does like Fonzie thumbs.
Well, I'm okay when it's just me rocking out in my room. I mean, I don't spin around a pole or anything, but I get really self-conscious in front of other people.
It's kind of endearing, but I also just want to scream at him, "You fucking loser. What's happening?"
He's the most popular guy in the school.
He should be, because he's a nice guy, but like, people aren't going to like you if you like talk about rocking out in your room, because one, that kind of sounds like masturbating, and two, you know, you're a loser.
No, but it's also it's kind of funny though, because a lot of people sing in the shower.
Yes.
I know someone that loves to sing in the shower, yeah. and that person is an amazing singer, but that person also doesn't think that he is as good as
he is. I'm sure somewhere in the world that person is blushing right now.
Let's hope that person is.
Also, after he says that he's rocking out in his room by himself, he mentions that it's not like he dances on a pole or something. Like, what do you think Sabrina thinks? Like, you're a stripper? What's going on here?
Well, there is kind of prostitution-like stuff going on in this episode. So maybe he is wearing a thong and having 20s in his G-string. Hey, you don't know.
You can read Sammy's fan fiction at... No. Sammy, anything else to add on the scene, or can we move on to more dance fun?
More dance fun. Let's show them how Brian Austin Green is so ecstatic. And
he is very happy. At the dance, Libby asks Harvey why she didn't just tell her when she asked her to go to a dance with him to go to a dance with her, why he couldn't dance. And he says... He's working on it, bitch. He didn't, but he should have.
He needs a snap after that.
He needs a Z snap in there.
Snap.
He then sees, we then see Sabrina pull away from Chad as a slow song starts, and she suggests that they go stand by those chairs over there instead.
Let's be losers.
That's my catchphrase. That might be the title of the show, actually. It might be Let's Be Losers. I'm thinking
Stop
out loud here.
Stop switching it around.
I'm thinking out loud. Chad really likes the idea of standing by a bunch of chairs, by the way. Libby then starts talking to him, and Chad tells her all about his life as a rock musician and how he plays lead guitar. Harvey is not fucking impressed.
Lead guitar? Psh.
He notes that he also plays an instrument.
The bassoon!
To which Sabrina is all, wow, I'm super fucking hot for your bassoon playing.
I don't even know what a fucking bassoon is.
A bassoon is like a big like brass instrument.
Like the French horn?
No, bigger. Bigger than the French horn. Anyway, Libby then gets in a burn of a joke telling Sabrina that she's a bassoon.
Hey, Harvey, don't you play an instrument?
Yeah, the bassoon.
Wow. The bassoon, and I think that's really sexy. Maybe to another bassoon.
They start to talk about how great the music is, and Libby also then comments that she can't dance because her date doesn't know how to dance.
Shut the fuck up, Libby. You're so annoying.
Fuck you, Libby. Sabrina's then all, oh, Harvey's a great dancer, and you should show him right now, and then pulls a little magic, and we get a wonderful, like, saucy jazz tap dance routine
right,
from
we
Harvey.
Have to talk about this.
Let's do it right now.
He was Patrick Swayze.
Yes, he was. Nate Richard is actually a classically trained. He's trained in ballet. He's trained in modern dance. He's well trained as a dancer.
I was seriously questioning, and I had this written down in my notes for today. Harvey tapped. There was a little bit of jazz in there. Mm-hmm. There was ballet. It was all dirty dancing.
He knows
all
what he's
he
doing.
Needed was baby, and Sabrina was not his baby.
And there's a good argument to be had about who has better hair, Patrick Swayze or Nate Richard, in the scene.
It's pretty close. And Both of them are wearing black. Right. I'm just not a fan of Harvey's freaking chain that came off of.
That's true. He does have one of those chain wallet deals.
Not a fan of that. It didn't go well because it's not shown with the vest, and it just doesn't go with his whole outfit. It really doesn't. But I really enjoyed that. He played it off so well. He really was just so shocked in what he had just done. And I was really trying to find, because, you know, like, special effects aren't the best. So I was really trying to find, like, if it was a stunt double. And no, it was all him.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking, like, how long did this guy take to learn that? There was three types of dances in that. So that's hard to do, you know. But it's good to know that he was classically trained.
Oh, yeah. He can break it out whenever he wants.
He can shake that ass for us.
That's
shake
right. He can make those $20 bills in his G-string if he really wants to. Also, just like, this is the point where Sabrina, like, just gives up and is just like, Harvey, I like you in a subtle way by being not subtle at all and just going, wow, the bassoon. God, you're sexy. Like, next thing she's just going to be all, wow, chips in a punch bowl. Let's go make out.
So, as we did a little research on the DL, and we know what the bassoon is now.
It is not a brass instrument, as I said. I was thinking of the tuba.
So it looks like a clarinet.
Yeah.
So obviously another reason why Harvey was asked by Libby to use his finger, because obviously, again, he's good with his fingers.
Good, and probably good with his tongue, because he's got it's a woodwind.
Mm-hmm.
Facts. Post-dance medley, however, Harvey wants to leave because his bashfulness has returned. But Libby really wants to dance with him. This is where Harvey finally musters a no and goes outside to get out of this.
Good for him.
That's right. This is Harvey's come to Jesus moment.
Did anyone see that?
Everyone saw it.
Now I feel really self-conscious. Let's dance. I feel inspired.
But
I better go.
What? I want to dance with you now.
Sorry, Libby, but you said I could leave if I wanted to.
Well, I take it back. You have to dance with me.
Libby? No.
Chad is then inspired to dance by Harvey, as anyone would be, but Sabrina tells him that it just doesn't feel right, and she chases after Harvey. Outside, she finds him waiting for AAA because his shitty Chevette has broken down again. She offers to wait with him. He then asks her why she isn't inside with Chad Perfect, and she tells him that he isn't her type. After some hesitation and, you know, magically freezing Harvey, which sometimes you have to do, she tells him that while she really likes Harvey as a friend, sometimes she wishes it was more, and she likes Harvey a lot. She then unfreezes Harvey, who doesn't remember any of this bullshit, but he, for some reason, gains the confidence to ask her to dance. With just the two of them being outside, there's no one watching. This is where we then get Harvey showing some more of his dance abilities, I guess. In we get a very Gene Kelly style, like, very choreographed, like, dance routine to Isn't It Romantic, the song playing, which, another fun little trivia note, more stuff I researched, Isn't It Romantic was actually the title song to the 1954 movie Sabrina, starring Audrey Hepburn.
Didn't know that.
There you go. Apparently the song plays from nowhere also, because, like, no one's playing it, but they clearly
there's
both hear it.
There's a word for that, you know.
Yeah.
As a media studies major, I should know that, but also I forgot.
But
there's a word for when you see music being played, it's an internal in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also another word for it being set outside of the
scene. But the weird thing
scene.
Is, like, it's clearly not it's like,
it's not coming from anywhere.
It's not coming from anywhere, but they can hear it because they comment on it.
It would have been nice if, like, they showed, like literally a second and a half clip of Sabrina just pointing her finger.
Yeah.
You know, just point the finger, play the music, because she's like, oh, do you like the song?
That would have been. You know? I agree with you. While they're dancing, Harvey dips Sabrina, and this is where his shyness creeps back in, and they stop, because this is all he can do, as he says. Sabrina notes that it was enough. Harvey then invites her to the slicery for some foosball, and man, is she into the idea of going to the slicery for foosball. She heads inside to tell Chad that she's leaving, and as she walks away, we hear Harvey profess that, much like Sabrina, he likes Sabrina, but he just can't tell her to her face.
This all comes back to what Hilda said in communication. Sabrina professes her love for Harvey. Harvey professes his love for her, but nothing happens. Communication is not there. They want to do they're literally skating around the fact that they like each other.
Yep.
And they should be together.
And I
feel
like
someone just needs to take both of their heads and be like, boing.
But that's how it often is with relationships. You know, people like each other and they don't want to tell each other they like each other.
Yeah, I told my boyfriend, I was like, hey, so everyone thinks that we should be together. Hint, hint.
Hey, my aunt Zelda was like,
and that's how he asked me out. And it's been 9 years later, so it's been pretty good.
Smooth move, Sammy.
Ooh.
Knows what she's doing.
I like you, Sabrina. Why can't I say it to her face?
No, but going back to everything, how the hell did they get Harvey to stay so still?
It was impressive. I mean, I assume there's some camera trick that they're using.
I was looking, it could have been because they were literally split in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been they froze one part, possibly, but I don't know. But I was really trying. I was looking at the shadow. I was looking at both of his feet. I saw it a couple of times. I was looking at when they panned into his face.
Mm-hmm.
And eyes.
In terms of special effects, we're going to see a very impressive one in a few minutes, though. Back inside, Sabrina tells Chad that while she appreciates him bringing her to the dance, she wants to be with Harvey. He, of course, ever the optimist, just compliments her on her choice, saying that Harvey's a great guy. And he notes that it's fine if she leaves with Harvey because he'll just stay at the dance and miss her. The best line Brian Austin Green gets in this episode is, "I'll just stay at the dance and miss you." Sabrina,
it was sweet. It was really sweet.
It's adorable. Everything about this episode is adorable in one way or another.
So, it's okay if I leave?
Oh, sure. No, go ahead. I'll just stay here and miss you.
Sabrina then feels bad and suggests that he asks Libby to dance, which he loves because he notes that he likes Libby.
Who the fuck likes Libby?
Me. Oh, I kind of like. Yeah. I
you've professed your.
I professed my love for half of the cast of this show.
No, but you did say that you really liked her, and I just fucking hate her. She's so annoying.
You have to hate her.
Yeah, I know, and I'm that person. I just don't like her. She Blue has no Libby. Reason to be. Well, she has a big reason, but right. I just fucking hate her.
He also notes that he thinks he's going bad. In like a bakery way.
I thought that was so funny.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
And I love the special, well, really not special effects, but him just holding flour in his hand. He's like,
it's coming up. I actually loved it too. I'm not going to lie.
It reminded me.
And then the line we get there is also great.
Do you remember? So I have a candy store two blocks away from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go there literally every day after school because it was right next to our school too. And, this Asian guy worked there and he was like, oh, do you want these candies? And because I was looking for gum and it was cigarette gum. So it was basically a half a cigarette or whatever.
Mm.
And there was powder in it and you just blow it out and powder would come out.
I
love those, but they would always give me a weird headache because bubble gum's strong. Yeah. That scent is strong. The taste is strong. You really have to love it.
I had bubblegum cigarettes once, but I was 19 at the time.
Really?
But it wasn't
it's an old
yeah
candy.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they make it anymore.
I got it not too long ago. There's some company that makes them, but it's not really widely available anymore.
I'm going really far off right now.
Sammy wants some bubblegum.
No, not that. But it also reminds me of the 90s ice cream that I used to have. Every time the ice cream truck would come around, we would get the WWF ice cream with the cookie and the vanilla ice cream and the chocolate on the back.
Popular shits.
They don't make them anymore, and supposedly they were coming back. So do you know if they're coming back? Because I know you're a big fan of the WWE.
I am a big wrestling fan. I don't believe they're coming back.
Oh, my God. I heard last year that they were coming back, and I've been looking at them, looking for them for at all of the freaking ice cream trucks.
Everyone
and for some
them.
Reason, I just can't find them. Everyone I need to write a letter. I think I should write a letter.
You should write a letter. I would love to read the letter that you write to the WWE. WWE asking for
it. You'll proof it for me before I send it?
I will happily proof it for
okay,
you.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So yeah, she says that, and then Chad's all, I'll dance with Libby, whatever, and Sabrina's a little taken aback, but he's going bad. Outside, Sabrina shows up and gives us the most ridiculous line anyone would ever say to anyone they like. Foos it or lose it. Harvey then starts to brag about his symmetrical arms, and they head for the slicery. Chad's screwed out of this one. Back at the Spellman house, Hilda is really absorbed a lot of football talk, but her guy ain't interested in her.
Simon
is not interested
Fuck
in
Simon.
Hilda. Simon is interested in a Hammer commercial starring Pat Summerall.
They kept the ball on the ground, and they were able to convert in the red zone.
You know, I can't hear Pat Summerall while you're yapping.
It's a hardware commercial.
He's talking about hammers.
Okay, that's it.
I thought that was so dry. I didn't find that funny.
It was really?
Well, you have that type of sense of humor.
I do. When he said he's talking about hammers, I laughed. I'm not going to lie.
Did you think it was Dick?
I did, but I love dickish characters, so that's great. Sabrina. Hilda's had it with Simon, and she heads into the kitchen. In the kitchen, Zelda is drilling Eddie Cibrian on how to practice putting on his fireman jacket.
Drilling? Drilling?
Tap the nose. She's timing him, basically. Hilda comes in, grabs a big rolling pin, and leaves. We all know what's about to happen. Zelda then starts asking Eddie Cibrian if she can teach him anything, like the Heimlich, and he says, yeah, but first I need some milk, because he's like, milk is his cocaine.
Can we talk about this, though?
We can.
Milk is fucking good.
You do love milk, that's true.
I love milk. I love my 1% milk more than anything. More than OJ, more than water. I can drink milk any day.
It is an impressive feat to watch
Just
Sammy
no
drink milk.
No milk with alcohol, though, because it's fucking weird. That's like mudslides, I can't do. Ugh.
So basically what happens is Hilda comes back with a big ball of dough, throws the dough into the garbage can. There goes Simon. And she says that, well, since her date didn't turn out, Zelda and her can share Eddie Cibrian. Zelda isn't having it, and they get into a literal tug of war over Eddie Cibrian, which ends up with Eddie losing an arm and, like, very sadly saying, my milk, like, in the most defeated way. I thought it was pretty good. Okay,
He's
Sammy.
He's such a child. He's a baby.
But all of his lines are just, like, something about milk. Like, he could have filmed this in, like, 10 minutes.
Milk or him taking his clothing. He's putting his clothing on as he took it off.
Or calling Zelda kitten. Chem kitten.
I was literally about to... Brrr.
And now you have. All right, Sammy.
Going back to
the whole thing of a dance with Sabrina talking to Chad and up to now, what do you think?
I think it's a very mature scene for the two of them. Obviously, Chad's only there for 4 hours, so it's not like Chad's ever coming back. So Sabrina feels like she can be open with him, kind of like she was with Jenny in a way. But tell him how she feels, saying that you're the best date because Chad just understands. He's just there to have fun. I don't think that they put romance in there.
Between the two of them? Not really. It's just like he's the nice guy.
A good time. Yeah. And I think that's what they really wanted, was Sabrina to have a good time and hopefully something would happen with Harvey, because obviously nothing's happening with Libby.
Yeah.
But going back to Zelda and all of them, I just thought it was really weird.
Them wanting to share a date?
Jumping right now from Sabrina and Chad to Hilda and Zelda.
Do it.
They're sisters. It really, she was like, oh, mine's not working.
Let's share.
What?
Let's share?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's fucking share. That's gross. You're two sisters. You're trying to find
He's only around for 4 hours. So they,
no,
time permitting.
No, come on, you're really third wheeling, and you're third wheeling.
It is, yeah.
Like, and again, and I think this is where I really thought of prostitution,
mm-hmm.
like prostitution real hard right now. Like, oh, we only have 2 hours left. Like, I really need to get what I need, you know.
Poor Eddie Cibrian. He's going to be drilled all right. There you go. Back at the dance, Libby and Chad are having a really fun time dancing to the great production music that they put in here. I didn't mention this, but I want to just touch on this for a second. The first time we see Sabrina and Chad dancing, they keep dancing to the song that Sabrina and Chad both apparently love. It's clearly just like a ripoff of Never Met a Girl Like You Before. It's not the actual song, but it's a really good ripoff of the song. So look that up, because that's definitely what it is. Anyway, so Libby and Chad are dancing, and they're both having fun, but then he begins to start coughing up flour, as Sammy said, and he runs off because he, quote,
must find preservatives.
Libby figures out that Chad's missing and goes chasing after him. She eventually ends up outside, where she just starts walking into a pile of dough. Like, just, it looks like somebody's...
Yeah. I wish it was shit.
It, girl, you just don't like Libby. I was like, Chad's really made of shit.
Mm.
It looks like somebody like stuck a piece of dynamite in Chad, and he just like blew up all over the entrance to Westbridge. It's pretty grim. She steps in the dough, says ew, and just leaves. But we then see a particular piece of dough, like on like a flower bed or something, start talking. And it's Chad's mouth, and he just says that he had a wonderful time, and he tells us that he loves this song as the scene closes. And then as the credits roll, here's the end of the episode. I thought it was kind of weird that Sabrina and Harvey leave, and like there's another 5 minutes of the episode. But here, the episodes roll, and Libby is just like calling the police because Chad's gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a great line in about how he was last seen dancing with her, and then the policeman just hangs up on her because, much like Sammy, the policeman wasn't having it with Libby.
Mm-mm.
And that's really how the episode ends. Sammy, this last scene, and then we'll get to the fanfare at the end here. Did you like Libby's dancing?
Libby, I thought it was really funny because I feel like this always happens to her. Like, things happen.
Right. Did you feel bad for her, though?
Eh.
This is the closest Sammy came to
feeling bad. It's inevitable. Just things like this happen to Libby all the time. She, because they're, Sabrina is a witch, mm-hmm. things happen that are unexpected, and Libby winds up in weird situations where she's kind of just like, what just happened?
Yep.
What is going on? Wait, this just happened, but now you're telling me no? Like, this thing was here and now it's not? So I just thought it was funny, and it's just another way of how Libby's character has to deal with all of these special life that Sabrina has,
mm-hmm.
and the privileges that come with it. And she has no idea.
Libby is, in my opinion, the funniest dancer we see this whole time, because like she's the perfect mix of like unabashed confidence and a forceful lack of grace. Like,
mm-hmm.
some of it is great, but some of it is just like, you can't think you look good dancing like that. Like, it's an amazing, amazing delivery of dancing from Jenna Lee Green here. Also, the whole dough talking thing, I thought looked surprisingly good for a 1996 TV show.
I agree. I don't know how they did. They obviously painted his whole face white. They probably put like a geisha mm-hmm. white on him, that white powder, and that's how they got everything to look so.
Like, I don't know. I can't even imagine how they did it.
Put a green screen.
It looked
or
good.
Like put a whole mask on his face and yeah. just around that area. That's probably really hard to do.
And it was 1996 and a TV show like first season budget. I mean, it's a great job by whoever had
it's
to do
only
it.
Only the sixth episode, right?
Sixth episode, yeah.
I had a really great time. Oh man, I love this song.
That's the episode, however, Sammy. It ends there.
I will say I missed one point
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to touch upon.
Please.
The Harvey and Sabrina dance.
Yes, they do.
It really, really reminded me of an ice skating
Yeah. Routine. There's a lot of choreography in that. Like they're standing side by side.
But it wasn't like a good choreography. It was like just like you're on ice where they're doing that like little lift and her one leg is in and the other one's out and they're pointing and they're doing a little twirl and the other twirl. So I'm sorry I missed it, but I'm putting it in now and I hope you guys agree with me that it looked like an ice skating routine.
It was not a
ballroom routine.
No. I actually, you do make a good point that it at some points it looks like he's like just dragging her around, because if it were on ice it would make more sense, but this is just in the middle of like the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. All right, Sammy, that's the episode. We now have to do our end of the episode awards, you know, the big ceremonies here. We first start with the rating this week, Sammy. You know the TGIF scale that I use from 1 to 5. If you were to rate this episode in accordance with the TGIF scale, a 1 being a you wish, a 2 being a teen angel, a 3 being a hanging with Mr. Cooper, a 4 being a family matters, and a 5 being a boy meets world, where do you think this ranks?
I really love this episode. Mm-hmm. This episode's really good. It has a really good, it has a lot of good talking points, and the acting, I think, is really good. Mm-hmm. And I really, really enjoyed Brian Austin Green on it.
Yep.
And I'm not just saying that because he's kind of good looking at that age. But I will say that it's a boy meets world.
I absolutely agree. It's a big boy meets world for me. I think the acting was really good. I thought the writing was really crisp. It not only had a lot of fun jokes, but it really progressed both your understanding of the two main characters, Harvey and Sabrina, and their relationship and moved that along. A great concept just with the Mando and with the whole way it's carried out, and even the B story with the aunts and Simon and I believe Eddie Cibrian's character's name is Daryl. That whole thing,
horrible name.
Yeah, that whole thing is fun for what it is. I can't think of one thing I dislike from this episode. It is by far my favorite episode we've talked about so far, and it is a boy meets world.
I really hope that this episode sets like
the tone.
Yeah.
No, it does.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch is an awesome series, and I've always liked it growing up, but I've never analyzed it as much as I have
today.
Not even today. The last time I was on your podcast, but like you're really trying. And again, as a media studies major, I have done that with other shows, but never for Sabrina.
This does set a trend. I thought the trend of like really good memorable episodes starts with the Halloween story last episode, but it goes from now for like the next 5 episodes where it's just great concepts that are well delivered and are really, the episodes are well remembered by people even now.
Yes.
So it's a fun couple of weeks coming up for us. Sammy, there's one last award we have to give out here. It's the Back of the Linen Closet Award for this episode's biggest fashion flop. I don't know about you, but I thought most of the mistakes in the fashion world came out of Hilda's closet this week. And while the green shirt under the vest was bad, I have to give it to that terrible pink dress with like the flowers hot glued on it, because I think they took an okay outfit and made it deplorable by putting those big fucking posies on it. And no, in all honesty, if you were walking in the store, no one would come near that abysmal outfit.
I am going to have to agree with you. Even if the flowers weren't there, peach and black just doesn't go.
Hilda's going to suffer a lot of Back of the Linen Closet awards, by the way.
Well, it is what it is. You can't really help it. But I really enjoyed this episode, and I kind of can't wait. I'm so happy to be back. Yeah. You have no idea. And I feel like this – I'm sorry about last – week or
it was a good episode. Don't apologize.
I was so nervous last week.
To be fair, Sammy had done one episode of a podcast ever before, so she might have been a little nervous. This was a very good time. Thank you for coming. Let me thank you for being here.
We've been going back and forth. Yeah. We've been drinking tonight.
That's true. We have been.
We've been really enjoying each other's company. We've spent a lot of time with each other this week and texting and figuring everything out for today. And it really came out very well. I am not nervous anymore. Last time I had a really bad giggle attack.
She did. We had to cut that out.
Yes. And I was very, very nervous. I couldn't finish my thoughts. So I'm so happy. My second time went very well, I think, in my opinion. Al will critique me.
I think you were very good. you're welcome back anytime. Thank you for being here. Do you have anything to plug? Like, you want to plug your Twitter? You want to plug your Instagram or anything?
No, I'm
good. All right. Nobody ever wants to plug shit, but
I don't want to plug anything. Don't worry because about it. I really think that they should really just listen to the podcast and see what we have to say.
I agree. Do all that. next episode will be Third Aunt from the Sun. If there's ever a chance for me to give anything higher than A Boy Meets World, it will probably be that episode, because my God, Aunt Vesta as Raquel Welch is probably one of the greatest performances in the history of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and for some reason she was never brought back, but we'll talk about that then. Until then, however, follow me everywhere. I said you should follow me, and we will see you in the other realm.
The Alex Arujo out.
I've never seen a man drink so much milk.
Oh, I like milk.